trouble. You know why?
I don't.
You don't mind me telling you, right?
I don't.
It makes a difference. Why? Very well said.
Agreed.
And so I can play it. But here's the thing. Play it. You make damn sure you play it correctly.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you, she's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits and you know you're going to fall, tell them a hookah smoking caterpillar has given you the call. Call Alice when she was just small.
Over, like, Darcy has made moves that actually I've liked on paper but have not panned out, and to a certain extent the reason that they haven't panned out, like, is that a coaching issue? I don't know. All the people that have been signed are good players. I mean, they've been underperforming, way under what they had been wherever they came from. And can you blame the GM for that, for bringing in good players that are now playing worse? I don't know. That's all I got.
This is the cold open of, I don't even remember the title we're using, because I am trying to think of a better one that I think is better, because I'm selfish like that. This is a Streetcast with the Apologist and the Barrister. We are coming to you live from Avenue A in East 5th Street in the East Village of Manhattan. We are on our way to our favorite watering hole for such events, Kelly's. If you haven't tried it out yet, you have to go there. You know, we're talking about being excited and not... I think it's sort of the thing that all Sabres fans went through. Like, we all kind of agreed that we had basically given up on this season. They looked like they weren't going to rebound. And yet here we are, coming out of a great trade deadline with a really impressive win streak, hoping to continue it against a team right now in a playoff position. You know, you think about where we were a month back, what more could you ask for?
I mean, this is the kind of thing that you were almost waiting for the entire season, and you knew that it was, you know, it was never so bad that a run like this wouldn't put us back in it real quick. And this core of guys has gone on runs like this before, so, you know, it's in the back of your mind, it's always possible, but it's nice that they're doing it and giving us a reason to come out and have fun and gather and drink delicious Canadian beer. I can't complain.
No complaints. No complaints right now today. You know, you can be upset with how the beginning of the season went, and I would be one of the first people to argue we should be in a much better, you know, position for the playoffs than we are right now. But it is what it is. Can't go back. And, you know, let's hope for the best. I mean, you just thinking that some people, you know, a few weeks back were saying, well, just, you know, keep losing and improve your draft pick. Well, the draft is never a sure thing, and we've found that we've been able to find good players throughout, you know, first, second, third, fourth round. And so, you know, I for one wanted to see them at least finish with some heart. Even if you don't win games, play, you know, like you got nothing to lose, because at this point they don't. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, I think we'll all just kind of shrug our shoulders and go, well, it wasn't our year. But, you know, finish strong. Finish like you care and give it all you got, and that's what they're doing.
That was a nice little run of cliches there, Hart.
You know, I gave it all I got. I gave 110%. But let's end this segment. We're headed inside. Puck has dropped. And we'll check back in with you, you know, soon. Not so much check back in as recontinue something, but you know what I'm saying, people.
Hit that music. I'm sad alone in a boggy marsh.
Something that probably plenty of teams do, but
Carl Banks came on like the radio today and was like, "How do you think we won 2 Super Bowls?"
It's so fucked up.
It's not illegal hits. If it's an illegal hit, then yes. But if it's not a legal hit,
I know. But
there's no way. There's no way you can.
But I think the lack of intent to injure is what makes the game stomachable, because it's. Removed from what it is, taken completely out of context and looked at it objectively. You don't love sports, you don't know anything, you're looking at it as objective as you call as you can. It's fucked up. Like, I love it.
Here's the thing I thought about.
We're getting paid a boatload of cash.
But if you look at it though from a strictly business from the business of the NFL perspective. You had a coach who was paying players to hurt other people.
Yes.
With incentive, like, not just, like, if it had been, like, one flat rate, I feel like it almost would have been better than how it was, like, what you hear is that,
Marv let that
a couple hundred dollars. But I'm just saying, it's like Belichick.
But they were betting Coke.
But
not,
here's what
money.
I think is a totally fair comparison.
Totally different! Totally different!
Here's a totally fair comparison that I think people totally will disagree with only because they hate Greg Williams more than Bill Belichick, is that it's totally comparable to Spygate.
Yeah.
Plenty of other teams in the history of the NFL and currently today do what he did with a camera, just like plenty of other coaches.
I think it's bad.
Currently
I think it's
today.
Terrible. I'm not saying that. But the only thing I think the reaction is fine. I understand why people feel that way, and I'm not going to argue with them on that. The punishment should not be your punishment. Super Bowl forfeiture is...
No, I'm backing off on that. Well, in my mind, the reality is...
Because that also negates the entire offense.
No.
But I'm saying NFL... But that's part of what I was saying before, is the NFL has to do something. They have to punish Greg Williams.
I think forfeiture of a first-round pick and a six-month suspension for Greg Williams.
Sure.
But the team he currently has... Like, that's the thing. He's not with the Saints anymore. He's with the Rams.
Yeah. And no,
but he was an individual that let it go, so he's got an individual.
But I'm just saying, like, the Rams, beyond Greg Williams, beyond
he handled the money.
But I'm just saying, beyond Greg Williams being punished, St. Louis shouldn't be punished.
No,
if anything,
it was coming out of the team.
If anything, New Orleans should lose a pick or two. I'm sure you agree with that, though.
What?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you were saying. I was just saying that, because I didn't know until this story broke that Greg Williams isn't with the Saints anymore. He's in St. Louis. So beyond losing their defensive coordinator, how did I not know that
the whole Jeff Fisher, like, insane defense they're bringing up in St. Louis?
Okay. As a guy that I know has an on-again, off-again love affair with the NFL.
Oh, I hate the NFL.
Why would you pay a lot of attention to St. Louis?
Oh no! It was just like it's out there.
Sure,
it's like the only new.
Sure.
It's the only coaching move.
But that's easy forgettable thing that anything St. Louis does since they haven't been relevant in 10 years.
Maybe we didn't smoke so much weed. You would have noticed.
That's how you street cast, ladies and gentlemen. Trick them.
Did you really?
I have been recording this whole time.
You're such a cunt. God, you're such
a mister, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I have enough to talk about. This is what we do.
No, but it's be silent.
Here's.
You're welcome.
No, but
listeners,
here's the thing.
See that burn?
I'd like to finish my thought.
Who's gonna be offended?
Here's the thing. My hyperbole the other day, and I am what am I the viceroy?
You are the viceroy of breathless hyperbole.
That's me. That's me. You're crown prince of contrarianism.
I'm crown prince of contrarianism. You are the viceroy of breathless hyperbole.
That's true. Both of those are very equally true.
That is us.
So needless to say, in my hyperbole following the Greg Williams scandal, which incidentally, funnily enough, has really kind of wavered in the face of, oh, it's on the bills too? Yeah, I'm going to stop talking about it now and being so incredibly incendiary. Weird. My team did it? Oh, yeah, no, I won't care.
Well, they got to go bounty. If my team has to cheat and get bounties for a bowl, I'm totally fine with it.
You know what the worst part of knowing that the Bills did it?
I'm a bad guy.
Was knowing they also didn't actually benefit from it. Like, right. No, they did it badly.
Well,
like,
and that's...
They broke the rules and still lost in horrendous...
No, those defenses were sick.
Well, and that's the thing. No, but that's the point.
They were the top five defense when Greg Williams was there.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that
now
is the point.
TKO.
And I think that is the point that the Yotter was trying to make from the get-go, and it is totally fair, is that... The thing that makes it over the line with Greg Williams is that he incentivized it.
Sure.
Every team in the league, if they know, if you're playing Brett Favre, of course the goal of your defense is to hit this old man as much as you possibly can.
Every team in the league is doing it as well. He just got caught.
No, I know, but that's what I'm. But that's
what
I'm
saying. Is he stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's. Well,
but that's the thing. Forfeit a first round pick just for
But that's the thing, though.
Again, with the R word.
In Baltimore, but that's the thing. I think there are teams where you don't have to do that. In Pittsburgh, in Baltimore, in San Francisco these days. Although maybe, who knows? Maybe the only reason San Francisco has a better.
Keep going, Sam.
No, seriously. Let's bring it all around.
Sam's going. He's powering through. He's powering through.
We'll put a joke track in the back. If you listen real carefully, you'll hear us making jokes.
Put the Benny Hill music in here. Note to self.
I started and then I hit it immediately. That was terrible.
Never mind. There's no point to make other than this is how we do well at these things.
To defend myself, just briefly, the reason I am hyperbolic about NFL suspensions and discipline generally.
Because you have a really good vocabulary and you're overeducated and you like to expound upon subjects that you can expound upon with grace.
Those are some of the reasons. There's also another reason, though, which is...
Overeducated.
Learning is bad.
America.
Santorum, America.
Why are you such an elitist?
Because you can read.
No, but one of the I just think that, like, on the scale of NFL discipline... when you penalize completely not harmless...
When you penalize
Stevie Johnson for saying Happy New Year...
Yeah.
And...
Just put some aspirin between your legs.
But if that's...
Wow.
I'll buy all the women in Georgetown aspirin if I have to.
That's usually my job to go on the tangents. Continue.
But I'm just saying, if that's where they start with discipline, like Happy New Year, 15-yard penalty, paying people to hurt other people has to be pretty severe.
Yes.
Probably.
So, if you're finding...
No, probably. Yeah, you're right.
If you're finding James...
No, ostensibly in a vacuum, I agree with you. Yes. However,
I exist in Auric.
No, but that's the thing. And that was the point I was trying to make before.
A Dyson. We're having... Anything else?
We're having...
Sorry.
No. Don't be sorry. This is gold.
We've revolutionized the vacuum. We've also revolutionized the fan. Remember that when they revolutionized the fan? It's a circle. Where are the blades?
We're arguing that's the thing. We're arguing two different points. On the one hand, we want our team to play hard defense and hit people and hurt people.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's the NFL, and you've been fining James Harrison like $1 million over the last couple seasons for maybe kind of sort of intentionally hitting people. And this coach has been paying people to do what he did,
in
so
theory.
He's got to be punished.
The chicken just walked by.
No, I mean,
face.
Was it on her face?
It was in her face.
Yes, yes.
Face.
Guys have been punished for speculative... guys have been punished for speculative, like, never convicted, never even brought to trial things. So if this is remotely close to true, Goodell has no choice but to take action.
Yeah, Williams season ban, player fines... You know, I don't know if banning them,
I don't even know about the players. Just Greg Williams.
I don't know.
If no one else, Greg Williams has to be punished at least for the season.
They're paying each other. They're contributing to that pool.
Back to you, Jim.
But the proof they have probably only leads. In any event, we've already said enough.
I mean, I don't care.
The second period's probably started.
I just don't care. Like, this is like
points
one of those,
have been made.
This is one of those.
You know where we all stand.
No, this is one of those sport topics where I just don't give a shit. Like, oh, it sucks. You're right. It's a bad scene. You know, I'm not a fan of it. I wish things were different, but they're not. So fuck it, man. Like, who cares?
Like, I hear ya.
Punish it. Try and do your best to get rid of it. Move on. You know, I think all the breathless, not from you, but like from sports media, where it's like, I mean, a little bit from you, but I love you, so I'm not gonna lump you into sports media because we're not that.
I
don't know, whatever. But all the people like, this is an outrage. I'm like, oh, it is outrageous to a point.
I'm self-conscious
fucking,
when I do it, which I feel like gives me a pass.
Like, my bigger problem is the falsitude that Roger Goodell brings to the NFL, that it is a equal sharing parity league where they're basically trying to choke out small market teams and get them to move to larger markets. Like, that's far more of an outrage to me. And that is also mirrored in us, you know, I could go on. I'm not going to, though.
I hear what you're saying. That was one more.
You
what know,
it's
you,
capitalism. It's
you mentioned, but you mentioned there was one last thing I wanted to say, and then I'll stop.
Point is dickwad.
I swear this is my last point, and then I will stop.
Double.
That the only other thing I want to say, when you were speaking of the sports media for a moment there, and it made me think of earlier today, I was watching SportsCenter, and they were talking to Adam Schefter, and the whichever correspondent it was, in, you know, live from Bristol, was like, well, in all this bounty talk, we haven't brought up that this Thursday is whether or not they're going to re-sign Peyton Manning. So let's talk about that for a minute. And that's almost part of me right now is why I want this to be a bigger story, is because exactly like you're saying, there are larger issues, and yet the sports media still wants to latch on to whether or not, as we all know, the Colts will not.
Here's what I want.
The Colts will not be giving Peyton Manning $28 million to keep playing.
I want ESPN to
turn into a channel. So let's stop talking about it.
I want ESPN to turn into a channel where they shut everyone down, no one talks, and all they do is show the fucking live feed of whatever game is going on, and
agreed,
no one's allowed to talk.
Well, agreed.
For a full calendar year.
It's the only.
And then we'll see what the ratings are.
No, it's the only piece of like sports media that could exist based solely on their contracts and their access.
Yeah.
Because they have access to pretty much everything that's good.
Guys, my face is frozen.
There it is.
Let's wrap it up.
That's it.
Wrap it up. Put some aspirin between your legs. Let's go.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, oh we made it. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The summertime skirts and the guys in Kanai. All the gangbangers forgot about the drive-by. You gotta get your groove on before you go get paid. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up, and let me hear the party say, I'm kinda buzzed and it's all because
Megsy's back, Megsy's back, Megsy's back.
Other side.
No! What I'm psyched about? Tying up games and buses. I'm a fan of public transportation.
You don't have to do it now. You don't have to do it now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sam. Did my humor not live up to your podcasting expectations?
Dude, the last segment we did was amazing.
I'm sorry, Yvonne. Did that live up to your own comedic expectations? Because if it did,
dude,
you failed.
Megzy,
but that dog doesn't have a leash and it looks like a bear.
So a couple, like almost 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks from yesterday, from tomorrow, actually, Hearts and I were here, and we were recording, like, the second segment of, like, a really hastily put together streetcast, and this guy who's just high on fucking crack, he must have been, rolls up, and he's just out of it.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't have no paper dollars in my pocket.
Coins I got.
Coins I got. No, but I don't have paper dollars. And we're just like...
Now I can give you a cigarette. I'm living on credit.
I can't justify walking this around. Here you go, man. Thank you, bro. No trouble.
Thank you, sweetheart. Not quite. I don't mean it.
No. It's okay. Here, I'll give you a dollar.
That change should...
You made this happen.
That change should outlive the statute of limitations in my pocket. Did you hear that? That change... Like, I felt that change in my pocket, and I was like, that's been in there for 3 weeks, and I've been ignoring it. I haven't been spending it.
My favorite thing is,
it's
I
not
can't
even...
justify and then hand. Like, what? What can you not justify? I can't justify giving you this. Like, that's what I would think. I'd be like, oh, I'll take it anyway. Fuck off.
Justify not giving you this.
I'm a panhandle for a day. Let's see how much I can make.
You can do fine.
You don't have, like, a sympathetic
Have you
face,
seen
like,
my
I
favorite?
Know,
I
take care of you.
I gave change.
I will get whacked, and people will be like, okay, then. Holy shit.
My favorite spot
or
in
a
this
suit.
Neighborhood.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
My favorite spot in this neighborhood is right outside the 24-hour McDonald's up on 1st and 14th.
Is that where you cruise for dudes, you fucking creeper?
Yes.
You open it up.
I cruise
my
for dudes.
My favorite spot in this neighborhood is the 24-hour Mickey D's.
Dude, he likes
for
the,
what?
He likes the
That's
Angus
where
beef.
I score. That's where I get John's. That's where I get Big Macs. It's a full-service one-stop shop, baby.
Seriously, Angus beef.
If I finish the sentence talking about your desire to panhandle that you brought up, I would mention that there are kids who hang out outside that McDonald's who are clearly, well, they're fine. They're not really homeless, but they're just like, fuck it. Like, I was going to read a book at the library. I'll read a book outside McDonald's to see if I can get some change. They all have signs that are like, my van broke down, I'm on a road trip, whatever. I'm sitting outside this McDonald's. If
like,
you have change,
you
drop it.
Like
whatever it is, it's just like, clearly you're not someone, like the guy who came up to us a couple weeks ago, or even that guy now, like, you, like, my policy with all bums in New York is if you need it enough
to... He's
got
a bum policy.
No,
he's
my
got
bum,
a bum policy.
Like, no,
it's
I,
like on his wall.
My excuse,
it's like things to do this week.
My apology.
Work shifts.
He slaps it on his way out of his room.
My apology as the apologist.
Bum policy.
The twofer.
No, seriously, my apology as the apologist is that if you need the change in my pocket bad enough to beg for it, you need it more than I do. If I have, like, 7 cents in my pocket,
what
and you need it bad enough.
You never saw that mid-90s front line where, like, they followed panhandlers in New York, and, like, some dudes were raking in, like, 80 G's in coinage a year.
It's untrue.
No, it is.
What is your idea?
Even if it is true.
The train who would, like, have the spiel.
Whatever.
Like, but I'm just saying, like,
good morning,
for
ladies
everyone.
And gentlemen. I'm sorry to bother you this morning on the
But
train.
I'm saying, I'm talking about,
jobs, but
right.
Like, what do you
but I'm just
saying,
but I'm saying even
said,
if there's a guy who's out there making if there's a guy out there making 80 grand
no, old, seven.
And my 7 cents somehow got that towards his goal, like, good for him.
Well,
like, he needs it more than I do, because what he does for a living is sit on a train and say, hey, I need your change.
Give
I don't
me
need
80
that
grand to do that. I'll do it.
If you want,
be successful.
If I'm hanging out,
for less.
Listen, if you want, when I'm hanging out with you, if I have change in my pocket, if you want it, you can have it.
No hearts. Can I get the change in
my pocket? I have no change in my pocket. Oh, just like, for there you go.
Buddies,
there you go.
I just made, I can't count.
37 cents.
37 cents.
Yeah.
And that's like not even a Tough 10 nomination. That's two pennies, a dime, and a nickel.
Right. It wasn't
I don't even know. I don't even know.
It wasn't a tough denomination for you to whore yourself for. That's true. You whored yourself for 37 cents.
You just failed second grade math.
That's fine.
I failed everything. I just panhandled to my friends.
So, fair. Right. So that's what I'm saying.
I just panhandled to my
friends. If you need to do that.
I'm going to do what the Republicans do. I'm going to redistribute the wealth.
Okay.
Equally. I put it in my pocket.
Get it.
Get
right?
It.
You can't see that.
Yeah.
He did that.
Nice audio gag. I liked it.
And now I'm going to put a cigarette out of my tongue. Did it. You guys can't see it, though.
Point proven.
Oh, man.
Idiot for the win.
I got your pull. Measly.
$1. Nigga, you ain't shit. You wasn't shit when you was here. $1. I seen you do that shit on. That's the same shit you do around the pool room, nigga. It ain't nothing. Let me have $1.
$1. $1.
$1. Here we are. We're standing on Avenue A and 2nd Street, the home of a lovely taco stand.
Dude, and, I love Taco Lady. She's great.
You know, this is the best we can come up with. He's, he, as in the barrister, I, the apologist. I'm going to go get a burger. Barrister's opting for taco.
Of course
we
I
need
am.
To, we need to, you know, quell our pain.
We're wrapping
food.
Up this little package of sadness.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know what? Look, there was a lot of, if you could have heard everything that was said during the game, most of it would have been bad. But I couldn't question the heart or effort tonight. They just, something is wrong in the scheme of offense. It just, the only goal in a game that, if you know you want to be at least competitive in this game, your lone goal can't come from Corey Trapp.
Tropic Thunder.
I mean, that was a great goal. It was a great
Tropic Thunder.
I don't want to trivialize that goal, but no one else got lucky tonight. So that was a rough game offensively. Miller played his tail off. I'm struggling to remember the third goal, as I do on most streetcasts. Later parts of the game kind of get lost on me, but, you know, first two goals I had no beef with Miller on. The first was a lucky rebound. The second was just, you know, a one-on-one and a perfect shot. So
the
offense just didn't show up tonight.
That last goal was the one, I believe, there was a defense. Crap. See, this is the problem. I pretend I actually know things, and then I don't. But there was a nice one-on-one move on, fucking Robin McGrair. He got taken to the outside, and the guy took the inside track on him going in front of Miller. Seemed to just take a nice little tap to Miller's pads, and then pulled it off Miller's pads to go around him. I mean, Miller was already committed to the save up front. And, you know, it's the kind of, and again, I saw that from only one angle, so he may have just kept the puck on his stick and just beat Miller outright, but he had the inside move on Regeer, and you know, he just got beat. I mean, it's one of our better defensemen, so I'm not gonna, it's just, it is what it is. Winnipeg
sure.
wanted it. They
well, and that's the thing, and that's what I mean. Like, in a game like this, it was all out hustle from the word go. I mean, that game moved as fast as any game I can remember in recent memory. And you know, Winnipeg, the whole team, the whole crowd, they all knew that this was a big game for both teams. Winnipeg's hanging on to a playoff spot. They have been watching this great streak we had. They know it'd be a huge win to stop us after we just knocked off some big Western Conference teams.
Sure.
And they came to play. And I feel like we matched their hustle. It's just offensively, you know, I can't fault when I can't fault the effort, I have to fault the scheme, and it comes back to coaching, and we've been talking about it all night, but once, even with this win streak, it reaffirms our faith in the talent, I think, but it doesn't necessarily make us feel any stronger about the X's and O's in the coaching. And so we've been talking fire a lot Lindy. Tonight about still wanting fire to Lindy. Fire Lindy and yep. still wanting to fire maybe Darcy. I mean, I said earlier, you can't argue how great the deals he made were at the deadline. They were great deals. But the system so far has produced a team that is scraping to try to get an eighth place finish, which isn't what we were hoping for. But, you know, all that aside, tonight was a tough loss. To take one game by itself, everyone played as hard as they could. They just got beat. You know, and so hopefully they just rebound and we get back on a path that... Because, you know, at this point, we were talking before about, and as I kind of mentioned on the last podcast, are you the kind of fan that wants to watch them tank and improve their draft slot and just give up on this season? Or do you want them to, like, give every last inch to try to make something happen this year? I still want to see them make a run for a playoff spot. The Yachter who is left, I don't think he'll be offended if I say for him that he's firmly in the tank it camp. Mm-hmm. But, Barrister, I don't want to speak for you while you're standing right next to me.
I mean, first of all, this taco is delicious. That can't
the
be
the taco
forgotten.
Stand, if you live in New York, there's a delightful taco stand on the corner of Second Street and Avenue A.
This is delightful.
Don't pass it up. They spicy. Project movies on the wall right next to it. It's lovely. Within walking of Kelly's, a great Sabres bar. Like,
oh,
come on. Come on, New York City fans. Support. Support the good businesses.
One of the things that I... excuse me. Wow, the hiccups are in full force, folks. One of the things that I tend to think about is the way they finish... Excuse me. Again. Huh.
No more apologies, says the apologist.
For hiccups. The way they finish the season, I feel like, is actually a benefit to them long term. I mean, the draft being what it is, it's inherently... You know, a matter of probabilities, and it may pan out, it may not. They could draft someone who's a bust. They could draft someone who, excuse me, hits. They could draft someone who, you know, it's a fourth rounder who's amazing, a first rounder who's a bust. I mean, it is what it is. But free agents, I feel like, if you're a free agent in the NHL and you know that you're going to be making millions no matter what because you're a good player, you're looking for contenders. You're looking for something that gives you that personal satisfaction where you can be on a team, you can win a Stanley Cup, and that's, I mean, it's resume building in, like, the strictest sense, and you got to think that, like, they want that. A, it feels great, it's fun, and B, they are then a Stanley Cup champion that if they're ever worried about where their role is going to be with any NHL team, they're going to have a place because they have a cup. I mean, that's currency right there. Experience with a cup is currency. So if you're looking at teams you want to, you know, hit up for free agency or whatever, you got to be looking
straight that way.
That way, thank you.
You got it.
No, that's something that I have said periodically. I don't know if I've mentioned it on a podcast or anything that I put in print for the blog, but it's something I've felt is that if nothing else, say what you want about the free agent class of 2011-12, it put us on the map as being spenders again. Or I shouldn't say again. I should say now. Now we are players who, whether you are a veteran on an established team that might want to try the market, a la Reguer or Erhoff, or you're a young guy who thinks maybe I got a shot with a team that's going to give me more playing time, a la Ville Leino, we're a team that, as before, was stingy and not going to spend big money, even necessarily on our own players, let alone anyone else. Now we're a team that might take a shot on you if, exactly, if you're looking for teams to jump to. We're in the conversation with every other team that's willing to spend, sure, or overspend, if the case may be, for someone who's talented.
And those teams are, you know, inherently going to be kind of poor teams, and you want to distinguish yourselves. You want to show them that the bulk of the guys that you're going to be playing with as a free agent making a transition to a new team, the bulk of those guys are going to make you better, are going to put you in a better position to win, you know, that ultimate goal. And I just can't imagine that, you know, tanking for a good draft pick that could be good or could be bad is a better plan of attack than trying to be the best you can, because really all you're going to, the max you're going to do is have two or three new guys on your team next year. And
right,
to attract the best two or three new guys, you have to show them a set of 20 guys that are going to be successful.
Right. And when
and
we're talking,
tank, what does that set, that tells them that you're garbage. Like,
yeah, it just, well, and it pops in my head just now along the lines of what you were saying, that Yvonne was the otter, Yvonne, whatever we want to call him, was talking earlier about doing it the way Pittsburgh did. Not that they, I don't think they really intentionally planned on drafting Crosby and Malkin with any awesome foresight, but it sort of fell into their laps, is the way I like to look at it. But when it comes to the draft, it just occurred to me, you look at a guy, like guys like Crosby as opposed to Ovechkin has been the recent, like, that's the bar for if you for drafting a guy who's going to change your franchise. And look at those two guys right now today. On the one hand, now, of course, you know, not Ovechkin, obviously, but Crosby, he's got the one championship on his belt. But right now, today, don't know if he'll ever be the same guy ever again. On the other hand, you have Ovechkin, who in all his years has won all of diddly squat in the postseason. And so the idea that, like, getting that ultimate draft pick is the thing that's going to turn it all around, it's just a mirage. It's a, like, ultimately it's all about coming up with the right system, and that's the question right now, is the system we're currently working under the answer to a championship, or do we need to go somewhere else? For the most part, we at the DH think something needs, whether it's coach, GM, or both, something needs to be changed, because the current, at your most optimistic today, we're a 7th or 8th seed. That's not where we want to be if we're trying to be a title contender.
No argument for me.
So, you know, I like to make points that are unassailable.
That's a technology. As opposed
to some people, you know, not going to name names throughout the blogosphere on my own blog, but I like to make unassailable points.
It's indisputable what you just said.
If we want to be good, we have to be good. That's basically the root idea of my point.
Well, with that, we're going to hug it out. You're going to head uptown.
And he's going to head out to the borough of royalty.
The borough, yes. The queen mother of boroughs.
Yes.
Queen.
So,
queen mom.
Is there any idea we can wrap this up on? Whether it's related to what we've been saying or otherwise, I mean,
No. We've covered it poorly. But
okay,
covered it.
Here is an idea. Mitt Romney is a machine built by Karl Rove and Dick Cheney.
I believe that.
Oh wait, I'm sorry.
iRobot.
It's gonna fail miserably, so that's not enough. That's not credit to guys who successfully destroyed our world.
No.
I might edit this whole part out. I probably shouldn't.
We'll take it down with the music.
Michelle Bachmann.
She's got crazy eyes.
Carpet bag your ass in New York. You could get a job here.
I'll vote for you with open legs.
That's how we end it. Peace out, America.